We Talk Podcast presents...
What it is, what it do, welcome to the Wonderful Podcast with your host Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot, with... the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Well, Joel, we took a week off, and you and I were like, you know what? It's the holiday season. We're both really busy. Let's just leave One Fall alone until the year in review. And then wrestling's like, nope, you don't get a break.
Yeah, pretty much. It decides to pop up and make things busy, but I mean, there's a lot of positive busy stuff going on right now in pro wrestling, so you know, it's good.
Yeah, let's talk about one of the negatives though. Brock Lesnar, he has been suspended for a year from the UFC for testing positive after he had his dominant win, I believe back in the summer. I can't remember the exact month, but it was back in the summer. So is this shutting the door now on Brock Lesnar ever fighting again?
Yeah, I think it has. I think that ship has sailed. I would not be shocked if he came back and did one more little go at it, but I think he's done.
I think if he had a choice, he'd like to be back.
Yeah.
But I don't think the UFC, especially under this new management, and, you know, last part we talked about what they had done with guys like Iceman, and how they're cutting the budget and taking out guys in this, and they're under the new firm, and it just doesn't seem that with the new management group they have, they would really want to take a chance on a guy like Brock Lesnar.
No.
As far as things like this, I think John Jones has a better chance of fighting again than Brock does.
Oh, yeah, and John Jones will fight again, so.
Mm-hmm. And the difference is, too, is they control John Jones. John Jones is a mixed martial artist. Brock Lesnar is in the WWE. I think his contract comes up this WrestleMania? But either way, Brock's contract's coming up soon. I wouldn't be surprised now if Brock does another extension, especially since, you know, we're hearing that he had a lot of pull on what happened with this Bill Goldberg angle as he continues. He seems to be enjoying the current angle that he has right now, and it's an easy payday for him to do that. And I do think, though, if he is under contract with WWE when he wants to fight again, WWE will not take the embarrassment again.
No, and they won't. And they won't want to have that. So, yeah, Brock Lesnar, it's a shame. You know, that was an exciting point of the year. That was definitely one of the hotter moments. And now it's kind of, you kind of sit there and kind of go at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. Brock's going to continue to make money in WWE. It's smart. It's easy for him. The UFC thing, it would have been nice if it had worked out, because that would have just, holy crap, I don't know what they would have done if he had, everything had run smoothly.
So, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens. I mean, I'd love to see Brock in the octagon again. He was so awesome, the last fight that he had. And, you know, when he beat up Heath Harry, and it really looked like this is the start of something, and arguably, all respect to Connor and to Ronda, if Brock is there, I think he's the biggest draw that you can have for mixed martial arts.
Oh, yeah, because you draw in wrestling fans as well, and that just brings in more eyeballs.
So, we will see what happens with Brock Lesnar. Now, does the year suspension start from... I think it was on Thursday they announced it, so as of the day they announced it, I'm assuming?
I would think so. There may be a different day, but it would be hard to pin down which day it would be.
Mm. So, I guess we'll have to see what happens. We can confirm one thing. Brock Lesnar is not fighting in the Octagon in 2017. We'll have to see if he fights again in 2018. We'll have to see if CM Punk fights again in 2017. So it'll be interesting to see former pro wrestlers if they end up mixing up in the Octagon. I
say at this point, it's more likely that CM Punk will have a second fight than Brock Lesnar having a fight in 2017.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one for sure.
What's next?
What next is that Bullet Club is for life, and now we've got an American Nightmare. Can I before you say whatever you're going to say, mm-hmm. I've got to tip my hat to New Japan and their video production. That little promo for Cody was phenomenal. I love the look. I love the feel. I'm really excited to see Cody in Japan. He's the American Nightmare, Josh.
Yeah, it was a really good piece. It really made you care. And it's kind of crazy. Like, you know, WWE is this giant monster. But sometimes you just don't get a chance to be you. And sometimes you just need to go away. And ever since Cody's gone away, much like we saw with Drew Galloway, who got married over the week, congratulations to him, you have a chance to really show who you are. And Cody had never had a chance because there was no NXT and he never jumped to the Indies. He kind of jumped right into things. And now he's getting this chance to really show himself off as a character. So the day that he inevitably does come back to the WWE, which I do think will happen, he gets to be a larger-than-life figure and really show that he can be that main event player. And he's definitely showed how big he can be in this video package and the build-up to him being part of the Bullet Club.
Yeah, it's I'm excited. This is a big deal. Like him coming in and doing the ROH, the New Japan, it's just, you know, I really feel like it's added a little bit to him. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what the American Nightmare is. We've seen that he has great heel tendencies from Final Battle, from ROH. So I think this is a guy that can come in and, despite the sympathy from the crowd for him being the grandson of a plumber, I think he's going to generate a lot of negativity. And, you know, I don't. Right now, I can't see him winning the heavyweight title, the IWGP heavyweight title. But that Intercontinental title is definitely a possibility.
What is he lined up for currently at on the New Japan show? Is there anything currently he's lined up for?
He is actually booked in a match. Let me just double check. I think I know what it is, but I don't want to say the wrong one and look silly. But I believe it is. I know where you are. Come here. It is Juice Robinson. Robinson? It is.
I'm familiar with the guy, but sure.
It's the former CJ Parker.
CJ Parker, why does that sound familiar?
Because he was the jobber that KO beat.
Right. And he busted his nose up. He was the hippie.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of like a hippie.
Yeah, Cody versus him. So, guess we know who's winning that match.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so that is...
I do think, too, there's something maybe, too, if, let's say, Kenny Omega wins the championship, which we're not getting into our New Japan predictions right now, but let's say Kenny Omega wins, and maybe you start a build of a dissension between Cody and Omega down the road, and that's ultimately what you're building up to. Maybe Cody wins the G1, for example. I don't think that would happen because it's never really happened that an American really wins the G1, let alone going back-to-back, but that would be very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, let's just throw it in there because we are talking about Cody Rhodes and we are talking about New Japan. New Japan.
By the way, really quickly, before you hit on that, is Cody under contract now in New Japan or is he still getting by with his freelance wrestling?
I think he's got to have some sort of contract because just based on a comment from the owner of New Japan that kind of, you know, we take a look at and we kind of go, I wonder what this could mean because it's something that it's something that sticks out. And it was, we will announce something soon. We are entering a phase where you are either with WWE or against them. WWE has a lot of weaknesses and time is not on their side.
See, I don't agree with that statement at all.
WWE's not going anywhere, and every company has weaknesses, and Japan's weakness is how are they going to be able to cross over to the WWE, to North America, and have people really care. And I think that's going to be a really hard transition for them to have. People that really that watch WWE and really like WWE and are just casual fans just to watch New Japan, I think that's going to be a big uphill battle. That's something that they're talking about is going into the States and crossing over. I think that's going to be a big uphill battle for someone like Japan.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely some things. There's definitely some rumblings that maybe WWE is buying a promotion in New Japan. Mm-hmm. A promotion within Japan, similar to the UK wrestling, have something in Japan and start adding stuff like that to the network. Because, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But if there's a war brewing for Marks, this is a good time, because this is going to be an interesting time for us, because it definitely feels like there's something on the horizon that's going to be big. And I feel like the first shot was the New Japan World was the first real shot, because they basically told WWE, we don't need you. Mm-hmm. And that's WWE retaliated with the signings. And then we go back to what state we're in now, where there's kind of that tug of war for certain stars. I don't know what's going to happen.
My thing is too is you can say that you're WWE against this, but I just still think you look at guys like Nakamura, and I wonder if Okada falls in this reign as well, where you can do so much, but you still grew up on WWE and WrestleMania. No one necessarily grows up on Wrestle Kingdom. So you have a guy like Okada, for example. Mm-hmm. I wonder how long it takes until he's like, I need to go and just try that for myself.
You know, it's very interesting. Okada would be a very interesting guy, because mm-hmm. he's phenomenal in that ring. Like, if there's a guy that can rival AJ Styles in the ring, it's him. And I mean, he is a four-time IWGP heavyweight champion. He has won the G1 Climax twice. He has won the New Japan Cup. He has currently under his belt 4 5-star matches from Dave Meltzer, 2 in 2013, 2 in 2016. He has the best wrestling maneuver from Meltzer. He has the feud of the year with Tanahashi, and he just continues to be that guy that you're drawn into. You want to know how old he is, Josh?
How old?
He's 29.
Jeez.
So this is a guy that you really sit there and look at, that would be a guy that in a lot of ways would be at the top. Like, this would be, you'd think he's in his mid-30s, and he's kind of wrote out everything that he has done, but he's still got so much time. My question is, there are two sides, obviously, to this argument. One side could be that, yeah, he does want to pull a Nakamura, and he wants to see what life's like on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, he could be one of the guys that have ushered in a era of wrestling in Japan that they haven't seen in a while. He could definitely be a huge part of pushing that wrestling forward. That being said, though, you do wonder if coming to WWE is his ultimate goal. He said no in the past, but when you have a guy like AJ Styles shoot up to the top of the roster like he has,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to kind of wonder where he could go.
And you listed off all those stats that Okada has and mentioned his age, 29. I don't know what's left for him. And you have guys raising up the rank there all the time. We know Michael Elgin is going to be coming full-time in Japan. We don't know what's going to be happening with Kenny Omega. And maybe Adam Cole takes the jump there instead of going to the WWE. Maybe that's one of their big moves, and we'll see where Cody goes. So there's all these guys that are coming up and up, and I don't know what really is left for Okada there.
Yeah, he's in a very interesting state. I mean, he could there's two sides. He could definitely make that jump, and that would be a huge blow. But I mean, he can also just continuously be at the top of his game, because I mean, you look at John Cena, how long he stood on top of WWE. Now, I know it's just WWE, but Okada could easily see New Japan as his WWE. And
that's what I was going to say, too. He could just be at a Cena level and be like, this is the thing I've done. And I mean, I think it was Wei Ting from The Law who recently was out of Japan a few months ago and compared the way that Okada felt in Japan like their John Cena.
Yeah, and he very much is. Like, he's a huge – he wins constantly. And it's a hard guy to sit there. But he'll lose sometimes, and it'll be really good matches. But I do wonder if there is that next phase for him and what it is. Because he could easily – we've seen how AJ got treated, and we're seeing how Nakamura is getting treated in NXT. Okada could become something of a similar, could follow along the lines of them. Or not. It's totally, that ball is in the air. You don't know what's going to happen with Okada.
And I don't know what Okada's status is. If Okada did leave, I think he'd be more of a 2018 situation than a 2017 situation, personally.
Yeah. I think the war, I think there is a war brewing. And it's going to be interesting, because I mean, There's a lot of back and forth right now, and I do wonder what Vince's plan is for the network and what he wants that to be. Because I feel like the network's going to be his legacy. That will absolutely be...
That'll be his last legacy. And I will say this, too. You listen to what AJ said, right? Where he's like, Japan was awesome, it was fun, but eventually I miss my kids and miss home. How many American wrestlers are you going to have that are like, yeah, like Cody Rhodes, for example. I don't know Kenny Omega's situation enough, but Cody Rhodes, for example, has a nice little career there. This year is great. Let's say Brandy randomly gets pregnant, and he's going to probably want to get back to the States and go to somewhere that is a stable environment as far as income goes, right? And I think that's going to happen to a lot of American wrestlers that want to go to Japan, as they're going to eventually want to come back to America or Canada and work for a company like WWE, maybe even TNA, maybe not as much TNA, but an American company where they know they're at home in North America and the income is stable for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's going to play a big role in all of that. But it is that kind of wait and see. Nothing happens overnight, especially in pro wrestling. So it's going to be that kind of, we're going to be probably waiting sometime this year. This time next year, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. And I do wonder how much of a push New Japan's going to have. And, I mean, I don't think if New Japan fails to push into North America, I don't think that's going to kill them. I don't think that will cripple that company.
No.
And they'll just go back and keep doing their own thing. So they really have nothing to lose with this and everything to gain. So it'll be interesting to see the landscape of pro wrestling a year ahead. It's already starting to shift, and we've already seen something very different.
It does definitely feel much different than it did a few years ago. And I think the WWE, as we can transition to the next star, I think Hunter has definitely saw that transition come, especially with the way the indies were, and he jumped on it. And you've seen it this year with the CWC, and you saw it with him getting Nakamura, and then you saw it at the end of the year here with him getting a guy like Roderick Strong, and then ultimately this week, although it's not official, bringing back a guy like Chris Hero, who I'm assuming would not be Cassius Ohno, because those KO letters are with somebody else now.
Yeah, and I think that with Chris Hero, I've heard that he just has to pass his medical, and then he'll move forward that way.
So him and Hunter, I guess, have kind of turned to stone and back on the same page again, because I think that was one of the reasons he was gone. Hunter just didn't like his attitude, right?
Yeah, and I think Chris Hero didn't bash the company when he left.
No, he didn't.
He just left and did his own thing. Mm-hmm. And now we could see him and Cesaro reunite as a tag team.
That would be, well, we may not see that, because Cesaro would be on his way out now.
Yeah. But
his contract is up. When is Cesaro's contract up?
I don't know, but I have heard rumblings, and it's going to be a little bit of a spoiler for Roadblock. I have heard that they're the team that will take the title from the New Day, because they are facing the New Day at that show. So.
Yeah. Well, we knew as soon as New Day broke the record, the titles were coming right off.
Yeah. And it's good time. And, I mean, if Cesaro and Sheamus are going to win it, then that must mean they have some faith in Cesaro and Sheamus to stick around. And I feel like that team's kind of starting to turn a corner a little bit in a positive way. So, but I think having someone like a Hero in NXT is going to be really great because you get a solid ass kicker when Joe leaves.
Yes. I'm going back to I think that the Cesaro-Sheamus tag team, Cesaro's kicking ass, but I think it's really done a good job of rehabbing Sheamus.
Yeah.
I think Sheamus feels like something again, and I don't know what's going to happen when they ultimately break up, but Sheamus doesn't feel like at the end of the year he felt like a complete joke, and now Sheamus feels not special, but at least it's someone competent you kind of care about again, and he could be the Miz of 2017, someone that was completely done and then started to slowly get rehabbed again. Miz was the 2017 version of that, and I feel like Sheamus has a version. Miz was 2016. Sheamus can be the 2017 version, I feel like.
Yeah.
Of top guys that have a chance to be back to where there's some prestige when you talk about them.
Yeah, and that's the thing that you kind of want to get to. You want to get to that point again. So,
yeah.
No, it's definitely possible. It could also fail. But, I mean, that's the thing with pro wrestling is there's so much of it's either going to work or it's not. There's not much middle ground in the land of pro wrestling, which is okay, which is it puts a little bit more pressure on these guys. But I think Chris Hero coming in, turning back to him, I think he has a potential to really solidify himself. He's looked like he's got a little bit of a gut on him, but I mean that there's just different
bodies. Different look, man. Sometimes you want the different look, and I think you go into this next year, and you know we haven't seen NXT's been on the road, so you haven't been able to see like we haven't seen much of Roddy yet, and we don't know what Austin Aries' injury update is. Although I'm assuming Austin Aries is going to be facing Rich Swann at some point and jump to that 205 situation.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. That's why Austin Aries is on the commentary there. Although I can say right now I have not watched one episode of 205.
I've been so busy. It came at a time where Christmas hit and just life kind of took over. And
it was a poor time to debut it.
There's
so much stuff to watch alone that it's just like, sorry, guys.
Yeah, it will eventually get to it, but it's one of those things that you just kind of gotta wait.
Yeah. But I'm happy that Chris Hero, you know, is making his way back. I liked him as Cash Zone. He was in the initial start of NXT, and now that it's growing up and that's just another guy that you have in your roster now, and it makes even more sense now to send guys like Dillinger, Bobby Roode, Knock, and Joe up.
Yeah, because you are going to refill the stocks, and you're going to... but speaking of refilling, let's quickly hit on him. And he's our little friend called Adam Cole, baby.
Baby!
So, the rumor is that he's going to come to the Fed in early 2017, once his contract with ROH is done. We know that they've added dates. It technically would be up at the end of this year. It makes sense for why he dropped the title at Final Battle. And, you know, I think it's his next step to that next level, is that NXT. And I think he'd come in, and he's a tremendous worker, and he's a tremendous talker. So, you know, just go with it. Let it run with him and see where it all goes.
Selfishly, I want Knock to be the champion to face Adam Cole just for the match. But it's like, okay, enough is enough. Knock can't be in NXT for a whole year. He has to be at WrestleMania this year.
Oh, yeah, that entrance alone. Oh.
So what's the match then? Is it Roddy and Adam Cole, or is it Bobby Roode and Adam Cole? Or is it someone we're not even thinking about? Is it Drifter Pod?
It's the Drifter. Lock it in. Put it in Sharpie. NXT TakeOver Orlando, the Drifter versus Bobby Roode. Are you excited?
No.
Hello?
No, I'm not excited. I can confirm this. I think there is a pretty high chance that Adam Cole will debut at NXT Orlando.
Yeah. And it'll be a big deal, and it will. It's just showing that times have changed.
Absolutely. And so, do you think that with getting Adam Cole, getting Chris Hero for NXT, you have Sanity who's building up so you can do solo stuff with Eric Young as well?
So you can have, you have Roddy, Eric Young, Chris Hero, possibly Adam Cole. Hideo's going to be coming back. Austin Aries is down there. Is this time to maybe flip Knock and Joe up to the main roster for the WrestleMania push? And it, Ty Dillinger?
It could be. It definitely could be. Like, they could easily do it. I don't see them doing it, but it'd be nice if they could.
Well, we saw Ty Dillinger talk a little smack to The Miz on Twitter, so I'm guessing maybe in the new year that's where we're going, because Miz, you kind of see he's feuding with Dean now, so maybe that's the direction they're going to be going.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. I think Dino may win the title, but that's, you know.
Yay?
That's just my situation. You see it and you're like, yay, maybe. Speaking of SmackDown, it seems like they've got a little bit of an injury bug. Not a big one.
Yeah, where's Eva Marie? Like, is she injured? What's going on with Eva Marie?
Well, you know,
like,
what? Sami Zayn's worth 100 Eva Marie's, so we'll just leave that.
I don't think so. Eva Marie's worth 100 Sami Zayn's.
I'm just going to ignore that comment, and I'm going to move forward to Zack Ryder, who had a good showing on SmackDown, but injured his knee, and there is no timetable set for him, so that's a little spooky.
What did he tear?
I don't know what he tore, but I know that his knee, it's his knee, and it sounds like he's going to be gone for a little bit. I know that the news is kind of floating out what it could be he did to his knee, but I know that there is no set timetable for him to return.
So they won the number one tag team title chance against the Wyatts.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be time to say yeah?
I think we're going to have Alpha. We're not going to get to say yeah just yet.
Ah, I want to say yeah.
Not yet. Soon. Soon.
Revival versus the Wyatts would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yes, it would be massively a lot of fun.
Just a beat-em-up old-school match.
Yeah, but one of them is going to keep pissing off veterans, and they're going to get tweets sent out. You saw the tweet that I, Dawson sent out that tweet, and then, oh, well, no, it was Jericho calling them out for stealing his move, and then Regal called Jericho out.
Yeah. Did they say anything back this time, or they kept their mouth quiet?
I think they kept their mouth quiet and let Regal do the talking, which isn't a bad
choice. Jericho
term.
Does this with a lot of the NXT talent, because when Peyton Royce and Billy Kay had the thing of best friends, they get your own gimmick. Jericho won't let you sleep on the if you even touch anywhere near his gimmick.
No.
So beware.
Yes, we must all keep in mind that do not piss off. Is Jericho grumpy?
No, he's just in full heel mode all the time. I think he's still kayfabe from time to time, man.
Yeah, I think so. I think he just tries to go through and just he gets the internet going. He knows how to rile them up very well.
Renee Young said it best. What, like, I think it was like this time last year when she was on with the former Groundland Wrestling show. And just said how much she loves Jericho's Twitter. She never knows to be serious or not. I mean, even look at the Jericho interview he did with Renee on Unfiltered on the network. He starts off being grumpy. I don't want to do this. And Emma comes in as Renee's enforcer. And after gets going, after he's done kayfabe and then he's want to do it, it was actually a really good interview because Jericho could switch it off like that. He's he just knows how to read situations better than most people do in any genre, music, television, movies, whatever it may be.
Yeah, he's the master. He's the master at manipulating the crowd, and he gets it. He is a performer 10 times out of 10. Like, he is someone that we will look back and really marvel at what he was able to accomplish. Was it always hits? No, but sometimes you're not going to always have hits. You're going to have some misses, and Jericho has his hits outshine his misses greatly.
They do. Anything else happened really on SmackDown really quick?
AJ's hurt,
and Dolph is the number one contender.
I'm okay with that. December 27th, you're going to have to fill before the dead man comes for AJ's soul. So for now, you just have you know, this feud. I think it'll be a nice feud. I was excited for Harper. I got excited there for a moment. I thought, ooh, Luke Harper, yeah, AJ Dak.
You and I, Harper, I think, just needs a better chance, and it would have been something fresh too, right?
Oh yeah, it would have been completely different than what we've seen. Though I do think Ziggler and AJ is going to have a good match, but AJ's ankle, please get better, AJ. Please.
Well, it sounds like he's not gonna. He's taken off a lot of the house shows, and he won't be back until about the 27th. So he's gonna get another 10 days or so off, and hopefully he's okay by then. So I mean, kind of nice for him. He gets to spend the holidays with his family. So wait, it's a win for AJ.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Also, there's no slammies this year, is there?
Nope. No slammies. That's been confirmed. No slammies.
That's a bummer.
We all know who would win Superstar of the Year.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns.
I always enjoy the slammies.
I did, too. I always liked certain ones. Like, there's certain ones that I always kind of got hyped for. Like, Superstar of the Year.
Yeah.
It's AJ. Let's all just accept it and move on and all be happy. Something else that we're going to have to accept is we have more content to watch, Josh, and it's going to be all UK performers.
Yeah, and Will Ospreay wasn't too happy about it, but I don't think Will knows how contracts work.
Well, I think he knows that, like, from what I read and what I saw was he's bummed that he wasn't up there, but he recognizes that UK wrestling that was on life support, was suffering, is now starting to come back. And I like that WWE has come out and said that this is not going to affect other people's contracts. So it's not going to affect the people that want to do What Culture Pro Wrestling. I guarantee you they will start to poach some guys and send them back across the pond to the U.S. to perform there. But if you can start building guys, like, I think this is WWE's future. I think they're going to have a UK one, see how it goes. And I really think they're going to try to do something in Japan, or more specifically, China.
Yeah. I know you knew the names. Was Martin Kirby on there from What Culture? The guy that did the Zoidberg elbow?
I don't believe so.
Before you do the names, I'm sure there's a lot of talented wrestlers in this, some that you and I are definitely not familiar with. So let's talk about the biggest deal from this press conference. They got Nigel McGuinness.
Yep, and ROH is not too happy about it.
So explain the deal here. Was Nigel's contract up or he left? I've seen contracting statements of what happened with Nigel.
I don't know. It's hard to know fully what's going on with that. But boy, oh boy, they got Nigel McGuinness finally made it to WWE. He has had such a long, difficult road. It's not as a wrestler. Like, he probably could have been bigger than Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
But he's there, and you gotta feel nothing but love for him for getting to that point, because this man had such a difficult, long, winding road that now he's at the point where it's like, yes, this is awesome. You know what? ROH.
By the way, too, sorry to interrupt, I would take Corey off NXT, give Corey a break, and put him into NXT as a color.
See, Nigel's okay as color. I think he's gonna flourish here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, NXT might be a good place for him to really get better.
I just need Corey to take a break. Corey needs to get away from something. Corey does way too much for them.
Corey does it all, which is good, because I think they're grooming him to be one of the next big guys, which I'm perfectly okay with.
Yeah.
That's another guy that had a long, winding road and, you know, it was cut short, but now he's found a second life.
Well, and we just saw Jerry Lawler kicked off of everything. He's not at any WWE programming at all. And maybe JBL could be the next one.
Yeah, it's
maybe that could be putting Nigel and putting next to a little Mauro Ranallo.
You know, I wouldn't get too crazy. I'd kind of let Nigel do the UK. Like, the UK
stuff probably won't happen. I think Otunga is really the other guy they're really still trying to work on. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, there's
he has his moments. Otunga has his moments.
Yeah. For sure. But the list of what I've got here, we've got Trent Steven, 7. Nope, Trent 7. Oh boy, this already started bad. Trent 7, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, West Midlands. Oh, holy crap, I'm horrible at this. You need to do this.
Yeah, how about you link me right now?
Why? I thought we've established this years ago, where you read the name.
I read it. Yeah, link it to my Facebook.
Let's get Joel to read all these British names. It sounds like a great idea.
Well, we have a guy that's from England.
Let's just have Joel read stuff and go, I don't know what I'm doing. What have I done? It just very derailed very quickly.
I was gonna see. I should read these names, but I'm gonna see how long Joel can go before he's like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. You do it. Come on, chop chop.
Okay. So the first ever UK championship. So does this count England? Because they're not part of, I guess they're part of the UK. They're just not part of the EU anymore.
Yeah.
If they did a European one, they're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Does this mean they're going to actually have like a United Kingdom champion then that's going to be on Raw or SmackDown then?
No, I think it'll just be on this show. But they are going to have a UK champion.
So, the names. Agree and proceed. Yeah, WWE. I don't really care about your random nonsense. It's weird seeing a video of Nigel McGuinness. By the way, the championship is a really nice championship.
Yes, it is.
Where are the names on here? Okay. Where'd you see all the names at?
It is just... you see that big video of Hunter, you scroll down past the videos, and then you'll see them all...
lined up, yeah, I see them all lined up. Do I have to click on that?
No, it's just above it. So this unprecedented...
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. So we have Trent Seven from Wolverhampton. We have the hard-hitting Pete Dunne from Birmingham. Tyler Bate. We have Break the 19-year-old. We have Tyson T-Bone from Malvern. We have Tucker. We have Jordan Devlin. We have... in all fairness, they did not list these names very well.
Does it say?
Roy Johnson, the powerlifter. They only noted a handful of them.
Yeah. So my thinking is they got a lot of guys that are smaller names, which is great. Because sometimes you just need to let some of these guys shine. And, I mean, Regal had to have a hand in picking all these guys, so I'm not worried.
It's going
to
be a great day for Regal, because arguably the greatest, him and Bulldog and Dynamite, the three greatest wrestlers from England ever. I mean, Haystacks is up there as well. But as far as guys, I mean, I'm sure there's a few other names independently and stuff that I'm not listing, but as far as making it to the mainstream, Regal and Bulldog and Dynamite are the three standards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, this just opens that door again for more of these guys. And, I mean, this has got to be a hook for Will Ospreay in a couple of years.
What's the deal with Marty Scurll?
ROH contract.
ROH contract, okay.
And ROH ain't going to play nice with the Fed, so...
No. Yeah, because those are the two big names, and people are like, where's Marty Scurll, and where is... Okay, I have the names. Are you ready?
Yep.
Trent Seven, Jack Stars, Pete Dunne, Wolfgang, Ray Johnson, Sam Gradwell, James Drake, Jordan Devlin, Tyler Bate, Joseph Connors, Tyson T-Bone, H.C. Dyer, Dan Maloney, Chris Tyler, Saxon Huxley, Ringo Ryan, Tiger Ali, I've actually heard of Tiger Ali, and Tucker. So I'm
Tyra Lee's the only one I've actually heard. Any names in there that you actually heard?
Not really, no.
So, for the most part, I hadn't heard, but that's, in a way, good.
Fresh slate.
Fresh slate, like you said, like, I didn't really know some of these guys that were in the Cruiserweight Champ. I never had heard of Rich Swann, or, who am I thinking of? Who's the guy that had a really good match with Kenta, the second round? Kind of dating Alicia Fox now.
Oh, Cedric Alexander?
Yeah, I had never had heard of him, so...
I had, but I hadn't.
And so it's nice to be like, oh, well, this is what you get to find out some new people.
Yeah, it's a new opportunity for a lot of... It's a new day for all these people.
And it's also nice to know, like, you don't have to... So, by the way, it is an actual championship they're going to fight for, but I don't know what the realms are going to be that they fight for this championship under.
It's a 16-man tournament. And then they're basically going to blow through that in a weekend. It's the 14th and the 15th. In a weekend?
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on the network?
Yep.
Interesting. So, okay. So, for a two-day period, January 14th and the 15th. So, I wonder why they didn't stretch it out like they stretched out the CWC.
Well, because it's 16 guys. So, 8 matches to start, then 4 matches, right, then 2, and then the final match.
So that's an interesting week for them because, I mean, it's not much competition, but that'll be the weekend just before the conference finals for the NFL. I don't think that will really buy into that as far as competition for them as much.
No, I don't think so.
Because it's such a niche. This is the thing. The thing with this, as much as we talk about with a lot of things, is this is such a niche tournament. You have to be a real diehard fan to really want to watch something like this. You and I are going to watch this because we're intrigued and it's new wrestlers and it's an interesting concept and all that. The key again is how do you get people that don't care about this stuff to turn to the network on a Saturday and a Sunday and be like, hey, check this out.
You know, it could be, you know, cold weather, not much to do.
Mm-hmm.
That could be, but it this is geared towards marks. Smarks. Like you and
it's
me.
It's also something really... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was just saying, like, you and me, this is what it's geared towards.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I was super excited. Number one, being English, it's really cool to see it get on the map. And the English wrestling fans deserve something like this. They have busted their ass for so long. I mean, I'm sure if Hunter had a choice, he would have liked to have Will Ospreay in this, or Marty Scurll. Any word why Zack Sabre wasn't in this?
Nope, no word on that.
Maybe they saw, like, we just wanted no one that anybody knew. Maybe that was what it was.
Yeah.
Because, arguably, the three biggest names in British wrestling right now are Zack Sabre, Marty Scurll, and Will Ospreay, and none of them are in this. And in a way, that's for the better, because if Will Ospreay is in the very first one, you're just focusing on Will Ospreay, which I think was a problem with CWC, is you were just focusing, you were watching a lot of it, but at the end you knew, oh, Kenta and Zach are making it at least to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And now in this, you have no idea who could win it.
Nope, not at all. And that's a cool feeling.
Yeah. So I'm super excited. I hope that the next one is the women one that you and I have been wanting for a while.
Yeah.
To give... So some of these girls are better. There's so many good women wrestlers out there right now that don't get the platform. And I, you know, even hearing Sasha say, like, she's kind of getting sick of doing the same opponents over and over again. Be nice to get a wide range of them and then maybe, you know, start expanding that women's division out. But yeah. You and I have had this debate of, I think the women deserve more time and maybe a show of their own. And you've kind of been a little bit more against that idea, but we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's a wait and see. Who knows? It could work, but it could also not work. So,
I just want to see Tessa Blanchard get some shine, Matt.
It'll come. It'll come because a little guy named Ricochet will eventually land in WWE.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year for signings for them. So, what else do we got? Any last comments on the UK tournament for you?
I'm excited. I think it's a great thing to do, and I mean. put pessimism aside and just kind of let's see where it goes. The worst is it fails. The best thing is it's a nice bright spotlight for
these. And if it works, you can have a lot of these tournaments, right?
Yeah.
And then you can do one, like you said, in Japan, one in China, maybe one in Germany, one in Canada. You can do one even in the States, which is some of the best unknown independent guys. You know, you could have Cheeseburger in it for all we know, right? I'd love to see a woman one. I'd love to see one in Australia. I mean, TM61, not a huge fan of them, but they proved what they could do in that match against Powers of Pain that we saw live, and they really jumped off the mat, literally. And it'd be interesting to see what Australia could give, because apparently they were really good fans when NXT was out there, and it's shown that they have some talented wrestlers out there as well.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need to give a place a chance and see what happens. Yeah.
And that's the thing I really love about this. It's, you know, some of these guys in the old format would have to bust their asses out and they'd have to work their way to maybe get to a Rev Pro and then to What Culture and then get noticed on there and then maybe make it to TNA, maybe make it to ROH, get to Japan to get their name noticed. Now it's these guys that no one really knows their names. They haven't gone really to ROH or TNA. I'm sure maybe some of them have, but we don't really know their names off by heart. But now they have an opportunity in 2-day span to be in the biggest company in the world for wrestling and to start the year off. So some of these guys are going to get a chance to go to the TNAs and the Ring of Honors and the Lucha Undergrounds and the Japans and the What Cultures having this put to their name, which to me is the biggest win of all for it. Like, just being part of this tournament is an ultimate win for all these guys.
Oh, yeah. 100%. This is definitely a huge moment for them. And, like, it's, as long as you can keep that ball rolling and keep that positivity going, then it's a good thing for wrestling fans.
What's next?
The final thing on our list is the rundown for Sunday's show, Roadblock. I got it right here. Let's run through it. And
it's not a bad show. I just don't think you should have cards that are a week away from Christmas.
Yeah, it's not a great choice, but you know what? It is what it is. And let's get into that dark match, which is Big Cass versus our favorite Ruru.
Dark match or the opening match?
It's listed as the pre-show dark match. So. So, Ruru has been put on the pre-show against Big Cass. I gotta go Big Cass. Sorry, Rusev.
Rusev's sad.
Yeah. Aww.
But Rusev great on Total Divas, so yeah. At least I can see him be great on Total Divas right now.
And continue to show a wonderful personality.
Yes. The best, I just want to say, is I get sad that he's going to lose to Big Cass. There was a part in Total Divas this week where him and Lana were fighting about where their wedding should be. We all know they ultimately chose two weddings. But he was sitting down, and he's like, when I sit down, my arms get so big. Look how much I can flex and how big my arms are. In the middle of a fight with his fiance. He's the best. He's the best.
Easy.
And then I guess they have a stripper pole in their house. And Russo's mother came over, and the mother was like, what is this? He's like, it's to support the wall. They have them in America everywhere.
Oh, Rusev.
The best. It's the best part about Total Divas right now is the Rusev stuff. And Dean. Dean's the highlight of it as well.
I'll want to hear a little bit more of Dean later, but I think both of us can agree Ruru will not get the win.
Unfortunately, no.
And our next match will be there's a 10-minute time limit. Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman. So does Sami make it all the way to 10 minutes, or is Braun going
to... I kind of want him to. It's interesting now. We've heard that Mick Foley's taking time off because it's Christmas time. So I guess he'll be dealing with Stephanie now. Yeah. I kind of want him not to because I want Sami to get traded.
Yeah, I do too. So, sorry, Sami, but I want Braun to win at like 9 minutes and then to trade Sami. And then he
can go ahead.
Then he can go wrestle on SmackDown.
which they need. They need to freshen things up over there.
Yeah, they need another baby face, like a Sammy.
I really like Braun. Like, I didn't think I'd like him this much. I like him way more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I do as well. Like, and I think this is just... I think ultimately his next feud will probably be Big Show, and then just kind of move on from there to what could potentially happen at WrestleMania. We don't know, but it's keep moving Braun forward. I like it.
I just think it's such an... The difference between him getting pushed and, let's say, a guy like a Roman Reigns is there's just something missing with Roman. Just the charisma or the intangibles that you just have. It's like, yep, that's a guy. And Braun has that. And maybe it would help through that Jericho podcast that he was on for me. But he just has something about him. He's decent at cutting promos. He's pretty good for a big man in the ring. He has a lot of things working for him. Would I like him over guys like Sami Zayn and Neville to be on top of the card? No, I'd rather guys like Neville at least get TV time, but I don't know when Neville's ever going to get TV time again. But for where he is, as far as those big guys go, I'm really happy with the succession of Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I am as well. And that's why I enjoy, like, Braun is a fun, he does his role and it works perfectly. And I mean, Sammy going to SmackDown will be the best thing for him, hopefully, because that guy needs some jumper cables. And I think Sammy has all the potential to be a top guy in your company. And you got to run with it.
And I think, you know, if we always talk about theme music too, I think that Braun, the yellow at the beginning, is starting to really catch on. You're starting to see signs. I think at first people just thought he was just yelling, but now that people know he's yelling his name, I think that's starting to kind of catch on. And yeah, I think he could be one of the bigger success stories of 2017.
Yeah, it's definitely, and Vince loves those type of guys. So there's definitely, he's got all the right pieces to move forward. But
he's what they wanted to do with Big Show, but never could do correctly.
Yeah.
And they've done it correctly with him.
Yes, 100%. I think, sorry, Sammy, you're not going to get the win, but moving forward, we got a triple threat for the Cruiserweight title. Rich Swann defends against former champions TJP and the Brian Kendrick. Gotta think there's a retain here. I think this will be a good match. Yeah. I think the Cruiserweights may be getting a little overexposed.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of the Cruiserweights, and I've barely even watched any of them. I have Rich Swann winning because I do ultimately think he's going to be facing Austin Aries.
Yeah. Which is okay. I'm perfectly cool with that.
I'm cool with that. That's kind of Austin's semi-call-up, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Austin Aries in that. And, yeah, I do agree with you with the overexposure. I don't know if they needed to do 205 Live. It doesn't really seem to be moving the needle very much for people.
No, which is a shame because these guys are really talented, and I wish there was more of a hook. It's going to, I think it'll take a little bit of time, but I think everything will eventually work itself out.
They seem to want to catch the magic in the bottle that the CWC was, and the magic was that Full Sail crowd was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And not limiting these guys. Like, you and I saw matches live, and you and I were kind of like, it just doesn't have the same thing. You can tell they're limited with what they could do. If Vince just said, like, just do whatever you did in CW, there's no limits for these guys, it could be a lot different, but there's limits. They still have to wrestle WWE style instead of CWC style.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's what ultimately is the difference and the deciding factor for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think moving it back to Full Sail would have been a better call, but, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
What's next?
What is next? The longest reigning tag team champions, The New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Sorry, New Day. You've had a great run. You know, it was a short, quick little title run. You know, nothing special or noteworthy about it. But Cesaro and Sheamus are going to take the titles.
I agree. It's time. New Day broke the record. There's nothing left. Is 2017 the end of the New Day?
I don't think so, but I think we're going to start to see them kind of drop off a little bit. I think a split will eventually happen.
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time for Big E to start getting to that single life again. And I don't know what's going to happen with Kofi and Xavier once the breakup happens, because it seems like Big E is the big guy in all of this.
Yeah. It's, you know, it'll be a shame, but the New Day did something. Like, you got to say, that gimmick came in and no one believed in it. No one thought it was going to happen.
No.
And now here we are.
They had a match with Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, and everything changed.
Yeah, and then they just took off, and their gimmick got over with the unicorn. Like, that stuff, that stupid, silly stuff worked, and it paid off. And you got to tip my hat to all three of these guys, because they deserve every bit of success that they've had, because they've worked, clawed, and scratched for it.
Absolutely.
Next... we got the Ayatollah of Rock and Roll, the inventor of everything. He will put you on the list. Chris Jericho versus Seth Rollins.
I really want Jericho to win, but it's going to be Seth.
Oh, yeah.
Seth or does Hunter come out? Does Hunter come out?
No.
Not yet?
No. Royal Rumble.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is going to be a hell of a match, though.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be really good. Seth Rollins is one of the best wrestlers in the world, so it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a good match.
I mean, on paper, this card is really... This is not a bad show. It's just bad timing for a show.
Yeah. That is what ultimately the card will suffer because of the timing, but I think, you know, when you go back, you will see some highlights.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's like last year, that TLC show... Also not the greatest timing, but you remember that Kalisto off the ladder.
Yeah, Kalisto off the ladder, and just how much Roman and Sheamus brutalized each other.
Yeah, and Roman getting at Hunter.
Yeah. So I think
that worked out well.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few positive moments from this one. But yeah, Seth Rollins wins. The next match is guaranteed to go 30 minutes. It may run into OT. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair in a 30-minute Iron Woman.
Is this the main event?
No. Nope.
I think it will be the main event.
No.
Because it depends what you think is going to happen in the other match.
Oh, I know what I think is going to happen in the other match.
Well, let's just talk about both of these right now. I think... So, let's come back to this right now, right? Let's talk about with that. So are you assuming that Roman's going to win?
Oh, yeah. Roman's winning the title.
I'm still going to stay with KO. I don't think Roman's going to win yet. I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't think Roman's going to win. I think KO is going to win. But it's hard to not do the main event picture when Roman's in a match. I can see that regardless if he's going to win or not.
Yeah, and that's my thinking, is Roman's in the main event. So that is where
we're going. It's just, it comes down to... What needs to follow what?
I think there's going to be a little bit of spacing. I don't think the women are even going to be the second last match. I think they'll be probably in the middle, which is perfectly fine. I mean, they had their main event at Hell in a Cell, and they deserve it. Just the way things are being booked and the way things are being positioned, you know, you can't always main event a show.
I'm just wondering, too, with it being that weird week before Christmas show, if it's like, well, let's just do it again, and we'll put him in the main event again, because this is the end of this feud. It's a 30-minute Iron Man match. I think it, out of all the matches, this has the most reason to be a main event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But I don't see it happening. I see Vince sticking to his guns and having... Because he was leery the last time they main evented, and he wasn't too thrilled with it. So I think Vince is going to stick and have his pet project in the main event, and I think Sasha retains, but I think Roman's winning the title.
I think Charlotte wins.
Oh, God. This hot potato.
I don't think they're going to mess around with this streak.
It's just going to keep going.
Yeah. It's ultimately came down to that now. Will Charlotte's streak end?
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest thing right now.
Because... He's never lost on pay-per-view yet. And you know how Vince loves his streaks. Does he want to end it at a nothing pay-per-view, or does he want to save it for one of the big four with how big they're promoting those ton of shows right now?
Yeah.
Because that, even... Oh, go ahead.
That's totally valid and true, but I think this will be the end of the streak.
Yeah, I mean...
End of one of the streak, not the streak. The streak was ended at 30, but this will be one of the streaks that will end.
For sure. And then I guess you start... Bayley has nothing on this card?
No.
So I guess somehow they're going to get to Bayley and Sasha after this then?
That would be my guess.
Where does Charlotte go? That's my only thing, is where is Charlotte in all of this still?
I don't know.
They've been able to really do... One of the reasons I'm going to have this as one of the feuds of the year is this has been going on since July. Really, WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
And so we've had half a year of this feud, and it's never, ever felt super stale to me.
They've always found a very good job of making it feel very fresh.
Yeah, like every... Like, and this is the ultimate payoff to it, and the goodbye, and I thought that the storyline with Flair went off really well. And, I'm super excited. This entire card, like I said, it's not a bad card. It's just the weird placement. But, yeah, I'm rooting for Sasha, but I have Charlotte winning.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. No, Sasha's going to win.
Yeah. And then the main event, like you're saying, KO, Roman... It seems like you're going to go with Roman. I'm not going to... I'm going to stick with KO.
Yeah. That's fair.
I don't think... If they're going to do Roman winning, I think it would be a rematch of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's that's also very... Like,
I don't think... Sorry, go ahead.
I think that... Either or possible. Like, Vince could throw us a curveball and not have any real changes and just kind of ride out this year. They could also have big changes with Roman walking into... One way or another, Roman is walking into WrestleMania's Universal Champion. That, I can tell you, is going to happen.
Which it still makes no sense to me because there's just still nothing with him.
Oh, there's
no excitement. There's nothing. There's nothing with him. I think even as United States Champion... I forget that he's United States champion, Joel.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, Vince likes the look of guy holding two titles.
Yeah, and, like, the United States champion, to me, it's like, well, it works so well for Cena, and you got people that like Cena, we read it out. But the difference is, watch SNL this past week. There's something about John Cena. He has that to him. I don't think Roman Reigns could go on SNL and do what Cena did tonight. And Cena had the young guys coming out, and he had these great promos coming out. Just Roman just lacks something, and I don't even know what direction you put Roman in. I just don't know. And what is the rumored WrestleMania match right now for Roman?
I don't know. That's the thing. The rumor that I'd heard a while back was it was going to be Braun and Roman for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
But that's clearly...
Everybody would be rooting for Braun because the internet likes Braun.
Yeah. Braun will get a big pop and Vince will be happy. Vince could call an audible and put the title on Braun because he would get a big reaction.
Where does Finn go in all of this?
I don't know. Finn is going to fade. From all indications I've heard, KO and Jericho is going to happen at Mania.
Yeah, which, thank you, I called that. Just saying.
I think we all saw it coming. I don't know what's going to happen with Finn. Finn's kind of in limbo. I know he'll probably be back by that point, but there's a lot of, like, this, we're getting on the road to WrestleMania. Like, after this, it's kind of starting to gear towards things. So I'm interested to see where it all goes, but I don't have a lot of answers. And that's a good thing, because I can generally kind of get excited, and we'll eventually figure everything out, but it'll be a fun little ride to get to there.
So with the Rumble, is Braun the favorite right now then?
I don't even know who the favorite is. I haven't heard a whole lot. Like, everything's kind of been quiet.
It's the most open the Rumble's been for what? So if Roman doesn't win this, I would say these are the favorites right now to win the Rumble. Because we know Brock and Goldberg are not winning the Rumble. They're taking each other out. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say Roman's a possibility. I would say Braun's a possibility. I would say Finn is a possibility.
Yeah, Finn's a possibility and Cena's a possibility.
And Cena's a possibility.
Because
but then Cena challenges Taker instead of going for the title.
Yeah.
That's what he would want.
Yeah.
Unless AJ loses the title to Taker, which is the pursuit match right now for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else you can think of that has a chance?
It's open this year. It's definitely got an open feel to it.
But we're hearing Kurt maybe coming back for the Royal Rumble, but I don't think Kurt would win.
No, God, no.
Could a Nakamura win?
No.
Or could Joe win?
No. Nope. Not the time. I could see Nakamura challenging The Miz for the Intercontinental title heading into Mania. That's definitely reality.
And what I would really like is for Sammy to win it. Because then they haven't told that story. They had the chance to tell the story of Brian, right?
Yeah.
Of the underdog that doesn't get his chance, and they haven't been able to do it since Benoit, and they can't tell the story with Benoit anymore. Sami Zayn is the perfect story.
Yeah.
And him facing against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania is the ultimate story.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Sami Zayn beating Roman Reigns. That's a story that you can show forever, and that people will be behind a guy. You slightly turn Roman, and that's the story you build up. Is Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, and Roman? Sami comes down to him and Braun at the end of the Royal Rumble and eliminates Braun to win. That's the story I would be telling right now, but I don't write for the company.
No, and I don't think that it'd be nice, but I don't think Sami has enough heat on him right now to do that.
I think Benoit
had enough heat, and obviously Brian had what he had. He didn't win. I just don't think Sammy has that momentum going forward yet. I think they could have got to that point, but
he's getting there. The promo with Foley, I think, definitely helped, and whatever they do with the match this week at Roadblock is going to help. But it feels like Sammy is finally getting to a place that matters again.
Yeah, and I think hopefully he can continue to propel himself forward like that, but. Yeah. Roadblock 2016. I'm feeling decent about the show. And, you know, this year as a whole has been a pretty good year for wrestling. So I'm quite content.
So as far as the rest of the podcast go, I can't guarantee any listeners that we will be doing a recap of Roadblock for that week. Because next week is Christmas week. Following that, we will be back with our year-end review awards. And my favorite podcast to do every year, which is the Who to Look Forward to in the Future. And I will be going back and listening to the past one and saying who had the most right and who had the most wrong.
Yeah,
I will give you each one of that. And even you and I can even discuss it at the beginning.
Yeah.
There's some guys that we never even knew. We didn't know who Will Ospreay was. We didn't know who Marty Scurll was. So that we didn't think that Nakamura would be in the WWE. I can tell you that much. So that's always an interesting podcast to see who gets close. Sometimes you pull something out of your ass, like a Chad Gable or Alexa Bliss, and you hit it right. And, you know, sometimes you pull things like Moose, and you get it completely wrong.
Yeah, it, wrestling's a fickle beast. Sometimes things seem to be heading one direction, and then they change very quickly.
So keep an eye on that. I think the year in review we may be doing with the We Talk podcast, guys. We're working on that, so hopefully we can do it with Mo and them. And anything else to add before we head out, Joel?
No, I got nothing.
All right, well, until next time, cheers.
Braun.
Enjoy the day, people.